Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's Pop Culture and Entertainment blog, Monkey See, and I'm here in the studio this morning with Stephen Thompson from NPR Music. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
Well, Stephen and I are both a little bleary-eyed this morning because we're here to talk about Sunday night's MTV Video Music Awards. Now, I think it's safe to say that when we've been here in the past to talk about the VMAs, a lot of times there's been some big moment or a fight or something like that. What was your biggest takeaway from the VMAs this year, Stephen?
That there were no big moments or fights.
Okay, let's break that down for a second. No fights,
right?
The thing that I noticed about it was the big moments that I think were memorable were actually music.
No, and I don't want that.
I mean, if you are not familiar with the history of the Video Music Awards, which have been around since 1984, the VMAs have typically been a time where a lot of times there are feuds, there are sort of things about what people are wearing, things about where, oh my gosh, what happened here was so sexy or so provocative. Yep. What did you feel like people were most interested in? What were you most interested
in? Well, I think the stuff that people were anticipating was like, they're going to put Kanye West on stage and he's going to talk for 4 minutes. And that's going to provide us with something. It's going to provide us with a headline. It's going to provide us with something that people are going to chat about on social media.
Similar to when he announced he was going to run for president.
Right. And if you go through the history of VMA moments, I mean, it is clockwork, man. I mean, last year you had Nicki Minaj saying, Miley, what's good? And, you know, you had the meat dress was one year. Mm-hmm. And you go back, like, to the beginning, there's always something. Madonna did a lot of her provocation at the VMAs.
The first ever VMAs, I believe, was the rolling around on the stage doing, like, a virgin in the wedding dress.
So this VMAs, you're going in and you're like, what are people going to be talking about? It's going to be something, right? And then there just wasn't much of anything. They had Kanye West come on stage and talk, and he just kind of rambled and introduced a video.
Yeah, and he was pretty tame for Kanye West, I thought. He seemed happier and in better spirits than he sometimes seemed to be to me.
Later tonight, Famous might lose to Beyonce, but I can't be mad. I'm always wishing for Beyonce to win, so...
He came on and was largely civil, which is great. Like, good for Kanye. But from a standpoint of, like, what are the viral takeaway moments, there really weren't any. And I think on top of that, I think made a very, very bad decision to have Key and Peele provide this commentary throughout the show where, like, they were supposed to be, like, making snarky comments.
They were essentially
on Twitter.
Playing the role of kind of bad social media guys.
And I know y'all know who we are right here because on Twitter, I'm the legendary Lizard Sheeple.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm at the Shamester. And we are the internet famous social media influencers responsible for some of the most fire tweets of all time.
People talking on social media is the currency of this show.
Yes.
At this point. That is what this show exists to provide. Having these guys provide kind of dumb comments along the way, it kind of reminded me of like when like Dennis Miller was on Monday Night Football.
Sure.
And it was like, I can provide my own sarcastic comments. I don't need you to do it for me. And I found it undercut so much of the momentum of the show, but also it undercut the need to comment on it on social media.
Yeah. Well, and here's kind of my take on the Key and Peele thing. I think even though they're very funny and they've often been very funny, I think the VMAs have undergone a little bit of a transformation as you've kind of seen the ascendancy of Beyonce and Rihanna and people who are doing really interesting things with music. And in particular, this moment that's very, very much a moment of kind of interesting, powerful Black women doing music that is clearly incredibly meaningful to them.
Right.
I think a lot of artists have been freed up by changes in distribution and the dropping importance of labels and the ability to do streaming exclusives.
Yeah.
And we've seen all that stuff. So you have a VMAs that to me feels more vital in some ways musically than it has been. And you have these people like Beyonce who the kind of message that she's sending is not only textual, it's kind of existential. Her presence and the way that she asserts her presence is very much part of what she's doing as an artist. And so to me, it has this heft and there's this really interesting stuff that's going on. And there was a 15-minute Beyonce performance of tracks from Lemonade.
Right.
And then you get these weird, to me, the Key and Peele stuff felt like a throwback to when the VMAs had a lot less heft and felt more skitty, felt more like a bunch of people getting into fights.
Yeah, I mean, you make a really good point. I mean, I thought that Beyonce performance, first of all, was dynamite.
Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, babe. It's such a shame you let this good love go to waste. I always keep the top tier, 5-star Betsy loving in the car. Make that wood, holly like the boulevard.
And so you have, yeah, like you said, a 15-minute Beyonce performance. Then you had, I thought, a curious decision to pepper Rihanna performances throughout the night. Now, she won the Video Vanguard Award, which is kind of their, almost their, like, lifetime achievement award. Rihanna is 28.
But there's a long history of that. Madonna won it in, like, 1986. Yeah. So there's a long history of doing that. That's not just Rihanna.
Oh, absolutely. But they took Rihanna's performances, and instead of giving her time and space to develop momentum, they split her into four discrete chunks throughout the show and never really let her build any kind of momentum. And so she probably performed for about the same amount of time as Beyonce. And yet it felt like, oh, Rihanna again?
Yeah. And
which is so unfair to her.
These kind of 15-minute runs that people have done, that Justin Timberlake did when he won the Video Vanguard Award, that Beyonce did when she won the Video Vanguard Award a couple years ago, I feel like, because they decided, and I don't know what order these decisions were made in, but I don't think it's likely they would have had Beyonce do a 15-minute piece from Lemonade and Rihanna a 15-minute piece. So it feels like maybe there was interplay between the fact that they decided to do Rihanna as four medleys and Beyonce as a 15-minute piece. And I do think the charm of the four Rihanna medleys, and I agree with you, it felt kind of unfair to her.
Yeah.
The advantage of it was it did allow them to really put a spotlight on the variety of stuff that she's done.
Yeah.
Because the first medley she did was kind of dance poppy, if I can put it that way.
That's where they stuck.
That's
where they stuck We Found Love, which is one of my favorite songs.
Absolutely. One of them was introduced with more the theme, you know, of this island girl idea, as they put it. Another one was sort of a more spare, more serious stuff. And then the last one was kind of ballads. And so I do think those four medleys allowed them to kind of isolate the variety in her work, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But I think the splitting them up into four, and I understand there are reasons they did this, but to me, it spoke to the larger fundamental problem of these particular VMAs, which is, I'm not sure exactly why they did it, but in some years past, they've had a second stage. They can throw to like the Pepsi Pavilion in the parking lot, and that's where DNCE is performing.
Sure.
And instead, they filled the space, because obviously they have to do these elaborate set changes.
Sure.
They filled that time by having people talking.
Yeah.
And they would have, and there were times, especially I felt like early in the telecast, where you would just have like VJ yelling, throwing to another VJ yelling, throwing to DJ Khaled yelling, throwing to Key and Peele yelling, throwing to the person introducing the award or the performance or whatever.
Yeah.
And it felt so talky and just disjointed in a way that made it really hard for the show to get any kind of momentum.
Yeah, and I think another thing that you and I talked about a little bit on Twitter last night, they pushed all of the actual awards toward kind of the back of the show, which meant that a solid 100 minutes into the show, they had only given out two. They eventually gave out, I think, seven on stage. There are a bunch more that were given out, typical of award shows. There are a lot that aren't televised. But I don't think it's a new thing for the VMAs to not really be an award show. The Grammy Awards, in a lot of ways, aren't either.
Sure.
Those are both things that really...
The Grammys usually give away like 9 or 10.
Yeah. I mean, it's comparable, I think. But I did feel like there is a more interesting artistic show to me trying to come through the VMAs. Yeah. It was interesting to me that there was a kind of a fading to the background of what I think was intended to be a kind of a provocative performance from Nicki Minaj and yeah. Ariana Grande. There's a moment at the end of that performance where they kind of shove these two guys down to their knees.
Right.
And it's very explicit. Yeah. And it's the kind of thing that if this had happened in 1984, 85, that would have been the headline of yeah. the next day. I mean, there were some other ones. There was that Chainsmokers performance, yeah. which I must admit I didn't much care
Yikes.
For. And there was good old Nick Jonas mm-hmm. at the TikTok diner, which, by the way, I've been to, as
nice.
Many people have. I do wish the VMAs had a little bit more tolerance for somebody over 35. And I say that in part because, and I think Beyonce and Britney Spears, who we should also mention
yes.
In a second. But I do wish, like when I saw Mary J. Blige introducing yeah. Rihanna one of those times, I thought, I kind of want to see Mary J. Blige
I
perform.
Kind of a lot of want to see Mary J. Blige perform.
Let's just touch quickly before we go. I think the other scheduling thing that you can take away from this is scheduling Britney Spears in this kind of comeback performance mm-hmm. at the VMAs, which they had really hyped.
Yep.
Directly after Beyonce.
Talk about a disservice.
Brutal. That is brutal. Because yep. Britney Spears has this really complex history at the VMAs, particularly in 2007. She had a performance that was very poorly received and yep. kind of contributed to this idea that she was declining or unwell. And now she wants to come back. And I thought this one was significantly better.
Yeah.
But putting it right after Beyonce almost really feels like a thumb in her eye to me.
Yeah. It felt rude to her. And they had to know. It's Beyonce.
Yeah.
Whatever you were putting afterward. Do you remember the Grammys? I think it was earlier this year when they had the Hamilton cast and Kendrick Lamar in this like amazing 20-minute block of stunning performance.
Yeah.
And then they had to follow it with something.
Yeah.
So they threw to the new Gwen Stefani video where she's like roller skating for Target.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's difficult. It's brutal. Whatever they were going to put there is going to be brutal. I root for Britney Spears.
I do
too. How can you not root for
her? I absolutely do too.
She just did carpool karaoke. It was cute. I root for Britney Spears.
I want Britney Spears to have all the success in the world. We should probably mention a couple, like who won awards. The video of the year, not surprisingly, was Formation by Beyonce. Beyonce won other stuff as well. Drake won best hip hop video for Hotline Bling, which I think makes a lot of sense. That video is visually iconic already.
I loved it when it came out during my childhood. A common VMAs and Grammys problem we've talked about.
Yep.
All right. Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday at npr.org or wherever you get your podcasts, or you can hear us on NPR One. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you.